Tonight, step into Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, where raw truth meets relentless insight. I'm Eric A. Sinati, your no-holds-barred guide through the grit and the grind of today's toughest issues. In this episode, we're going to dive into the intersection of national security and personal preparedness and your individual rights. Specifically, my favorite book, The United States Constitution, which, plug, my book comes out this month on the United States Constitution. But segueing back in, your right in the Second Amendment to your ability to possess and own firearms. It is your God-given right within the framework of this nation, and that is what we're going to discuss. As threats become more and more complex, and boy, we know that they're becoming complex, and they're at complex levels that you don't even have a clue. It's that far. And we have a guest tonight that will help reiterate that you have no idea the level of the complexity of threat. With that, the importance of being self-reliant on yourself, and self-reliance and vigilance. Vigilance, self-reliance could never be greater. Could never be greater. We're going to examine how citizens complement, ready folks, citizens complementing governmental efforts to secure our homeland. That is a very, very good point. And when our guest gets in, we're going to really wrap that one home. Because you know what? It is about personal responsibility. We have a duty to protect ourselves and our family. The government is there. It's a safety net. It's not a safety support system. It is not a structure. It's not a foundation to build. We're the foundation. You folks, we the people are the foundation to build. The government is just the safety net. So you have to be responsible people in all you do. And how we take a role with government in the role of, specifically with the new Trump administration coming in, the federal concealed carry rule that is being discussed and the president is talking about doing. And we're going to get in further into that.
I will protect the right of self-defense everywhere it is under siege, and I will sign concealed carry reciprocity. Your Second Amendment does not end at the state line.
And that is a great conversation. And I don't want to push that any further until we get our guest on. But this is going to strengthen you as an individual, us as a nation, and us as a people. Because you have to rely on yourself before you can rely on anybody else. And if you are a family, there's somebody in that family you rely on. And it is their duty, a personal responsibility. And that's what we're going to talk about on tonight's show. It's about being resilient. It's about doing the right thing. It's about progress in the way progress is truly meant. Not progressive, progress. We're going to discuss that in detail as we move forward. But the key here to take home, folks, is it's about personal responsibility, safeguarding your home, and safeguarding your nation and your family. Now, our guest that's going to be coming in 1 second is a home security expert. He's a national security expert. He has been directly working with former presidents of the United States, direct access on a daily basis. This man is former Special Operations member, JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command. He's a Tier 1 asset or former Tier 1 asset, and he has extensive experience in the IC. And if you watch previous episodes, the IC is the intelligence community. We happen to know each other, and it is a wonderful opportunity. Bring Mac in. Get Mac into the show. Get him in here.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
We'll be right back.
There he is, Matt.
Eric, thank you for having me on. It's such an honor to be here.
Pleasure. Now, Mac, you're not going by Mac. You're using your real name now tonight. Please state your real name for the record then.
Michael McDermott, Mike the Marine.
Mike McDermott. So, Mac, as I know you, tell us a little bit about your unique experience. And then we're going to talk about what you're doing now. But you have a tremendous amount of experience. You're an instructor. Student becomes teacher, right, Mac? We go back.
Eric and I went to different schools together.
What do? We pasteurized the fields, right? At a farm. Got you there. All right. So go on, Mac. Tell us what you got. Tell the people.
Former active duty U.S. Marine. I was promoted twice by the Commandant of the Marine Corps, which you know what that means.
That is the top enlisted member of the Marine Corps. Presidentially appointed.
I've worked for two White House administrations, the USDA, the UN, on either humanitarian missions and I've operated on three continents.
You know, we've crossed paths in the UN a couple times.
I'm an MMA instructor. It's called a striking instructor. I was on the
Aren't you a Golden Gloves?
I was in the New York City Golden Gloves.
We should talk about Tyson for a minute. Let's take 2 seconds. What do you think of the Tyson-Jake Paul fight?
Mike was definitely holding back.
I concur 100%.
I'll tell you why. Because on my trainer's 80th birthday, which was a couple of years ago, and then he passed away from COVID, Mike flew all the way to New York to be there for his 80th birthday. I just have the utmost respect for him.
He is a stand-up guy. I know Mike as well, probably through the same people. And I felt the same thing you felt. I watched one scene I remember where, you know, he does that wicked uppercut and then another uppercut. He had Jake Paul and he stopped with it. He went to the left and he never goes to the left. And he totally stopped. He just stopped. He could have done it. He didn't do it. But for whatever reason, that's not the purpose.
And then he goes up to the head. He's done it a million times.
And he ends up so fast.
He's so fast, okay. There's no defense.
Here's the thing. Even with a bad knee and 58, I watched his training videos. He could have done this, really.
There you go. He was coming in so fast. My son said to me, what's going to happen? I said, well, he's going to go to the body, go to the head, and it's going to be over in about 30 seconds. Or he's going to do nothing.
So are you still doing MMA? Because, you know, I got my seventh Dan. We could scrap one day.
I don't mind beating up an old man.
I don't beat Tyson. I'll beat you up. I owe you for many years of torture.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I've been in the ring, brother. I mostly trained. My friend, you know who I trained? His name is Ed Bavlock. He's one of the top MMA trainers in the world.
Now, is that MMA not UFC? MMA is,
I do not cage, right? I don't do the floor work. I'm a striking coach. You know, punching.
You know, I learned it, and you probably will remember because we have the same stuff. You don't beat a man when he's on the ground. I learned you mitigate the threat. When the threat's on the ground, it's not a threat anymore. The whole purpose is to either mitigate them, and I don't, for purposes of FCC violations, ultimately mitigate them, or mitigate them so I can get away. And either way, none of them involve me getting on the ground. Am I right or wrong, Matt?
You were getting on me about the Mr. Miyagi reference, but, you know, Mr. Miyagi said to Daniel. Daniel said, I want to block. And Mr. Miyagi said, best defense, Daniel, son, not be there.
Don't get me there. Best defense, not be there. Yes. You got me. That is one of my favorite movies, man. Really is. Real fan. And, you know, having studied in, don't worry, your light's good. Don't worry. I can see it. You're fine. I studied in Okinawa. I understand. It's great. So, Mac, tell us more. Are you able to name the presidents you work directly for?
President Clinton and Obama. I work for the administration.
I know, I'm saying, I don't know what's classified still that you can, that you're not able to say.
President Clinton, well, it was not really classified. It was President Clinton, I made menus for him.
What did he like to eat? Did you taste all the food first?
Well, he was addicted to fast food, but not anymore. But he had this thing called an amazing chili cheeseless burger from Arkansas. It was 4,000 calories. I got it down to 2,200 calories. And the White House usher said to me, man, he's eating it. And I'm like, well, there you go.
You didn't even tell him, right?
Well, you know, no. When you want to make a change in anyone's life, it has to mirror something that they're used to. That's martial arts. That's shooting. That's right. Home defense.
You have to replace what it is they have with something that mirrors.
Human beings are resistant to change by nature.
Not everybody's resilient like you and I that can come and tackle what comes at us. But it takes years of practice.
we were comparing war wounds the other day.
Oh, I got a few of those. So we both of us. So getting into tonight's topic, but we can chat all you want. But I want to make sure you know that we're here other than just BSing. I was talking about the role of national security and the role of personal security. Now, I know that your role, whether or not you're still involved within the IC, we're not going to talk about that. Your role now is you're involved in preparing people in, I don't want to say prepping, but home security, firearms training, protecting your home, all that stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I go to the range quite often, and over the last 2 years.
May I ask what your weapon of choice is?
It's a number of right now. My favorite is I have a brand new Smith & Wesson 2.0 comp. What that means is everything that I usually do to a pistol is already done. It's got a compensator. It's got a fluted barrel. It has a fluted slide, and it doesn't kick back.
Right.
It's 9 millimeter.
I know who you are. You're the guy that creates your own. You make your own.
Yes,
stuff.
I do. I do. I call it tricking out, but I do.
I remember. Yep.
I do customization to.
You're the guy that can make a Bic pen into a gun. You want to tell that story?
It's like John Wick. He killed him with a pencil.
Hey, you got to grab whatever you need, right? In the time you need. Anything's a weapon.
Anything he killed him with a pencil.
Right. I love that.
That's the funniest line from all the movies. But to answer your question, I try to make people familiar and comfortable with weapons. Now, weapons are dangerous. You need to respect it. But
you
at the same time, you have to take responsibility for your own protection and your own home's protection.
And you heard my opening, that government is a safety net. It is not the pillars of the foundation. The pillars of the foundation are we the people. And in the home, we are responsible for ourselves. There is responsibility.
Yeah, you have 15 seconds to get ready.
Not even.
And that's why we keep, as you alluded to, Eric, that's why we talk about home defense. We talk about you want to slow people down to give you an opportunity to get your defenses in place.
Right. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to spitball this one at you because I think this is going to be great for people to hear. In-home firearm, what do you suggest? And this is John Q. Public firearm, so they're not an expert. John Q. Public. What firearm is the easiest? 22, sorry. Right?
No, a 20-gauge semi-automatic.
Really? For John Q. Public? Aren't you thinking it might go through further?
No.
I'm thinking of stopping power.
You're going to load it with lead shot, and you want to make sure you're at 1,350 feet per second.
Yeah, I mean,
specific?
Listen, you want me to get specific? I do know that the 9mm travels at 1,200 to 1,300 feet per second, foot-pounds and joules. I'm familiar.
You're absolutely right, Eric. You're absolutely right. At the same time, John Q. Public, they don't have the training to take out a handgun and be effective. With a 20 gauge with lead shot, not steel shot, you're at a huge advantage.
No, I agree. I know you are a firearms instructor at the highest level. I know that you also are concealed carry instructor. What do you suggest? What do you conceal carry?
My weapon of choice right now is a Glock 43X MOS.
Oh, interesting. You got me there. I was going to say Glock 23.
Well, you know this. Delta started carrying the 43X a couple years ago.
And you know that the SEALs went to Glock 19.
Yeah, my problem with the Glock 19, it's too bulky. The 43X.
It jams. It's Tupperware.
Yeah, I don't have any feed issues with the 43X. I did some modifications to it, and now it has a 15-round clip. You know, I also teach people how to put modifications on there that are.
Yes, we have your videos, and I'm going to run them later in the show.
Yeah, I have one on the Glock. I put a compensator.
I saw you put like a suppressor on there. Can you explain that? I saw that video with the suppressor.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. It's a compensator. What the compensator does is it takes the pressure off so the barrel doesn't kick back as much.
Kick back meaning recoil.
No, the front of the gun, when you shoot a gun, and anybody can see this on any of the gun channels, when you shoot a gun, unless it's set up that way, it will kick the front, the top will rise up every time you fire it.
Every time, right. But you have to, we're trained to compensate for that. I compensate one inch in my eye. I do a one inch.
Yeah, there's so much on the news, and there's so many people with channels now, especially operators. You'll see that everything they
carry. Tier one operator, absolutely. Yeah, right. There's a lot of us out here.
Everything that you see, they have a compensator on their rifles because it prevents recoil and it prevents rise. And the reason why that's so important is because every time the muzzle rises, then you have a gap.
You have to bring it back down. You have to resight.
Exactly. When you have a gap of when you can have your sight picture.
Now, see, here's the thing. You help me with this one. Training on my end, we have the same background. So my weapon of choice is a Glock 19. Well, yeah, I enjoy a 380. I enjoy the Ruger 380. But anyway, when I line my sight, I pull and pull. I pull and pull. I fight myself. And I also compensate roughly about an inch based on my height, my size, and the weapon. I compensate that one inch. Pull and push my hand. So this way I'm tight. And again, that's I try to pop off. Listen, what's the rule? If you're taking it out, you're going to use it. Right? Is that not what they teach us? If you take it out, you better use it.
You got to put them down within the first three shots. That's why I'm a big proponent of the shotgun for home defense.
Got to go for the headshot. But people, not everybody's good with that. But the headshot mitigates the target.
I'm trying to help people work towards that. I would like people to be proficient in a pistol, a shotgun, and a rifle. And that's all you really need.
You know what would be an interesting thing? And maybe we could talk about somebody doing this.
Well, you know what's interesting? What's interesting, Eric? I'm sorry, I'm talking over
you. No, you didn't cut me off. Go.
No, what's interesting is when I went to the range last year, I was using a 7.62x39, which, by the way, is, as you know, it's a NATO. It's very close to a NATO.
NATO. Yeah, it's a NATO. Right
now, and I was given, and everybody's firing off these 5.56. Now, for the average person, a 5.56 round ricochets; it doesn't penetrate body armor. And guess what? The U.S. military is going to now. You already know the answer.
They're going to a
30 blackout or a 7.62x51.
Right, 7.6. Yeah, that's the way to do it, though. 7.62 is the way.
As you know, what's the most prominent rifle in the world? What's the highest selling rifle in the world? It's an AK-47.
I was going to say but not in the United States. I was going to say the AR.
There's more AKs There's more AKs in the world than any other weapon. So
AK is not reliable, though. It's not reliable. It's sprays.
No, but here's the cap. I know, but you're exactly right. Palmetto State Armory, which I featured on my channel, has a AR platform that's chambered in 7.62. It's incredible.
You know what they ought to do with this? Honestly, with the 7.62, instead of going lead, they should go steel. Smaller projectile and steel, because you'll penetrate armor, you'll penetrate body armor, and you're going to stop whatever it is you hit.
Well, the Russians, you know that the Russians and the Ukrainians, they make steel.
They make their own. I also know that the UN is trying to give them a problem about that.
Well, because it goes through everything. I mean,
it goes through everything,
You want to talk about collateral damage, but here's the but. They're all trained. They know where to aim the weapon. They know how high to put it. They know what's behind it, even in close combat. It's a total difference than somebody
going close quarter combat.
I'm sorry.
Close quarter. You made me think of close quarter combat when you said that.
Yeah, CQB. We're also teaching CQB to, you know, moms.
You know, I actually was doing some of that with the martial arts. We should team up and do something like that. I think there's something to be said about following and evading. How to make sure you're not being followed and how to evade if you are being followed.
You want to laugh. My ex-wife used to call me Mike McDermott Security because every time we went out with the family, I was, you know what I'm talking about. I'm doing the 360. My head's on a swivel. I'm always watching.
Always on a swivel.
Always.
That's the buzzword, my friend. Like, we got to go to a commercial, Mike. Hold that thought. Folks, don't go anywhere because I'm coming back and we're talking more about everything you want to know with Mac. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today. Acorns.com/share or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC. JQPC and get $5 for free compliments of me to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
I will protect the right of self-defense everywhere it is under siege, and I will sign concealed carry reciprocity. Your Second Amendment does not end at the state line.
Welcome back, folks. You're right here with Eric A. Sonati, right on Eric A. Sonati Unplugged, giving you the grit and the detail the way you need to hear it. I'm here with my special guest, Mac. Mac, you need no introduction. Continue where you were.
Thank you. We were talking about concealed carry, and people should educate themselves about that. Now, the president, he announced it last year, but his son, Donald Trump Jr., just put up on Instagram, he played the piece again, where president wants to focus on a national concealed carry. Now, what does that mean? That means that people like myself who use concealed carry will not have to go to another state and be jailed, for example. I mean, it's just... You know, it's a 100% against the Second Amendment. You have a number of organizations that are fighting it all the way to the Supreme Court. A lot of these...
the Supreme Court has already showed, even, what is it, the ninth overturned, the felons can't have a firearm rule. Unless if it's you did a serious crime and you hurt somebody, your Second Amendment right doesn't go away because you got arrested. So I think what you're saying is going to go through because that particular court comes out of Nancy Pelosi's district. Could you be any more left? And if they said that felons can have a firearm, then boy, nobody's going to turn that down. I mean, what say you?
I mean, Eric, if you don't mind me saying, I believe that there has to be some guidelines. For example, I'm in Walmart the other day, and there's a gentleman, he had to be in his 80s, okay? But he's doing open carry and he's got a quick draw, which
I'm not a fan of open carry because you're just bringing problems to yourself.
So I think that there still has to be some guidelines because
there has to be. Has to be training all the way.
Well, you go up
it's like anything.
This gentleman has no safety. There's three levels to holsters, as you know. There's one where there's no safety. It comes right out. There's two.
And then there's one where you got to push forward, pull, and at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to push the foot.
That's like the one that we carry when we're working, because you can't walk behind me and grab it.
Yes, sir. And then there's level three, which I have a fan, watch holsters in Utah. They build
our friend is in Utah, Our friend is doing a training school up there.
Well, Jay, I'll tell you.
Don't say the name. You know what I'm talking about.
Even at the range, I carry a level three because I just don't want something that if I'm not paying attention for a second. But at the same time, let me show you what I got here if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Eric.
I don't like the inside, the waistband and all that stuff. You're going to shoot your appendages, especially
if you're a guy. Yeah.
If you're an average person. Now, what I have here.
Oh, yes. You're wearing the fanny bag. I'm a big fan of those.
Does that look intimidating? Does it look questionable?
Negative. No. But I know exactly what it has in it because I have one. Yep. There it is. Yep.
It's not loaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my tricked out Glock.
But do you have you have extra clips on you or no?
Yeah, it's right in the front. You can't see it.
Now, sit back down so you're on camera, because I have 30 questions for you. Sit down. Sit down.
You need to have a med kit, too, in your car.
Oh, there you go. That is responsibility. You have to treat the person that you shoot. Right, absolutely.
This is a trauma med kit.
Yep, there it is. See? Okay. Yep, right. There it is. Yeah, 100%.
Your audience can look it up, but it's in the car. Yeah, okay.
Listen, we're the same. I have the same on my bed as the star. Yeah, I have the medical and the flag. I have the same thing, except I got the skull on there too.
Now we'll just, if you don't mind, we'll just do a quick inside. I have a.
Harry, you want to go to him on big screen so he can show this?
We're going to
big screen you. We're going to break. There you go. You got the whole screen of yourself now. Show us.
Okay, I'll do it again. So in this is concealed, obviously, and it's in a little pocket right in front of the weapon. This is, and once again, we go from the beginning where you couldn't really tell there was anything in there.
Right. And it's serrated. Right.
Carbon, very sharp, but it also has serrated on there.
Yep.
To cut through something.
And it has the lip. Has the lip right after the serrate, so you can break it off. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Nobody really knows what that's for.
But I got this on Amazon.
That's a great one, yeah.
And all then right. I have a flashlight.
What else you got? Gotta have flashlight. It. I'm surprised you don't have a tack pen, Mac.
In the front, I have one in the front. In the front, I have an Israeli pressure bandage.
Israeli bandage, right? Yeah,
Israeli pressure bandage. And I have
for those out there, folks that don't know what. Hold on, Mac. For those out there that don't know what an Israeli bandage is, it is. It has quick clot and it's a bandage. You stuff it into the hole and wrap, and it's got clotting material built into the bandage.
Yes, sir.
And the Israelis created it.
And it's essential because, first of all, you want to put it, we're going to do a quick thing, but you also want to have a tourniquet on you because you're going to put that
you're
on.
You're off camera now. Yeah, fix it now. Yep.
You're going to put that on to stop the bleeding. And the tourniquet can be a rubber band with a stick.
But you have a duty. You have a responsibility and a duty after you shoot somebody in self-defense or whatever you did. You have a duty to save them. You can't just walk away.
No, they're human beings. And they're going to bleed out before the EMTs get there. So
exactly. And the whole purpose was to mitigate the threat. They're no longer a threat. Now you have to save them because now you have to have humility. And I think that's where people lose themselves.
And you don't
they
want
forget
to go into shock.
Humility.
I mean, there's a whole, they'll go into shock. And you don't want that either.
No. And, who wants to feel responsible for the death of somebody when you didn't need to?
No, that's funny because, Sean Ryan, and he had a Delta guy on.
Yeah, I know Sean.
Well, he had a Delta guy on, and he said, "What's going through your mind when you if you have to pull your weapon?" And he said, "Well, you have to be ready. You have to be mentally prepared of what's going to happen if you pull your weapon."
Right. Well,
and you're gonna
if
have
you
to
pull
listen,
your weapon,
you're,
you're
to
using it.
That.
You're
have
preparing
to, live
to
with
use
that
it
the rest of your life. So I was really impressed with that thought pattern, especially somebody from Delta.
I think that Delta, right? And for the folks out there that don't understand, you got your special operations teams and Delta, Navy SEALs, these are different groups and generally fall within JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command. So you'll have Delta working with SEALs and with MARSOC, which is the Marine Special Operations, the Raiders, whatever. I just had to put that out for our folks that don't know the nitty gritty.
No, that's brilliant. And Delta's what's called Tier 1.
and the Seals are tier one. You know, they change the names frequently. I'm not going to call the team numbers because we're not going to do that here. So that's good stuff. So here, what I wanted to ask you to with that, and we're talking about this carrying, and this is very important. Do you keep one in the chamber? You yes. walk around hot. You do?
Yes.
Because see, that's what I had a problem with the Glock. Because if you keep it hot, you don't have, there is no safety. Now, again, yep. our safety is our head, right? That's what they
change. Well, that's funny. It's funny. Well, striker fired, the Glock is the striker fired, not all of them, but the 43X is a striker fired. It has a safety built in, but it's not the traditional safety. I actually recommend the Glock 43X.
The strength of the trigger pull, right? For the safety. The first one is hard.
But here's what I'm going to do a video on this, Eric. There's a new, like I said, I was just coming out. Smith & Wesson just came out with a tactical handgun. It's the M&P 2.0. It's a compact.
I saw carry. It. Yeah, I saw it.
It has three safeties.
Right. I don't think you need that.
No, but the average person.
But John Q. Public might. But I fear that a wife, or and I'm not being sexist, or a wife of somebody, and the husband trains them on the weapon. And if you have too many safeties, in the moment of fear, you're thinking, oh, you got to, you know, there's a gun lock, right? A trigger lock, maybe. You got to put your fingerprint down and a code to get it out. All of that happens. And then the bad guy's already in your house and did what he's going to do. And you might forget. My philosophy is, I believe that if you're John Q. Public and you're teaching anybody in your home, you should have a sight on there, green or red. All you got to do is drop the sight, the target, and pull the trigger. You don't have to be perfect on the aim. If the dot is on the body of the intruder, there you go. You got it right up. You got a Picatinny. No, you got the Picatinny rail.
Go from soup to nuts, please.
So you got the kryptonite on there, like too, right? The kryptonite sight. Is that true, now? Is that like? Well, is it? There it is, kryptonite. Yep, there it is. Nice.
Yeah, that's it. So now,
on your Picatinny, is that just a light or is that a laser too?
That's a light laser, but it's the only one that fits on the 43X because the 43X is narrower.
Right. Yeah, because the 19, it goes on nice, yeah. Now, explain to the public, I don't want to use the wrong word, the suppressor on the end. Explain that piece.
Instead of the weapon.
Remember, they're TV and radio, too, so they're hearing and watching. Explain.
When you fire, there's a, what, and it's a better term, we can use the term recoil.
Recoil. But
it's called muzzle rise, okay? And what the compensator does is it nullifies.
It weighs it down.
It nullifies the muzzle rise so you can stay on target.
Now, what's the legality of that in all the states? Is there anything on gun laws in individual states with that?
Not that I know of. Not on compensators. On silencers and
yeah, silencers, of course. Right, of course.
Suppressors, yes, but not on compensators.
And you know what the joke about silencers is? You could make a silencer in 5 minutes in your house with anything.
Yes, so sir.
Why anybody would buy one is beyond me.
And there's the red dot.
Good thing we're on camera because you're pointing a weapon at me there, Mac.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. I'm kidding. I don't care. You can shoot your camera. I don't care. No,
What do we do first before we
you
pick
check
up
to
a
make
weapon?
Sure there's nothing in there? You clear the chamber.
And what I do is I also teach this. I teach people what is the basic things that you need to protect yourself.
How often do you teach that? Because I want to get that out to the show at the end.
Well,
you have information you can give to my producers?
We shifted it to Jarhead Tactical.
Cool. All right. We're going to get all that out with the production, too, after the show.
We're doing that all with Jarhead Tactical. Another thing that I wanted to point out, see the grip? That's a rubber grip.
Yeah, that's a custom grip. It's not the standard Tupperware.
This is a Hogue. You can get this off Amazon, actually. This is a Hogue rubber grip, but when it's wet, it's cold, you're nervous.
You don't lose it. It stays the same. Yeah.
You're going to get a really good grip on it. And like you were saying,
does it got the little teeth to bite into your hand? Got the little teeth on it, right? Yep. I know.
Yeah, but it's rubber, so it's very comfortable. But what happens is
no. But I mean, the little teeth allow any water to drip in between, so you don't build up any puddle on your hand.
Now, do you see the little? You see the little second trigger here?
Yeah, that's your safety.
That's your safety.
Not everybody understands that. Well, on a clock, at least.
Well,
that first round is harder to pull.
You have to take some sort of training before you even think about purchasing a firearm.
And I'm glad you said that. And that's going to segue great into our conversation about Trump's potential national carry. You said training. Here's the problem I have with that, and I like to see. I have two things I want to see. Number one, is I'd like to see if there's a training that you should be able, not every place lets you rent a weapon to try. You should be able to go into a gun range and a gun store and try it out.
You're absolutely right.
Because you need to, yeah, and they don't. So you get a Glock, or whatever it might be, and it's too much recoil. It's too big, whatever. You need to try it. You need to feel, and that's where the training comes in and trying weapons. Now, other thing I wanted to say, hold that thought, because I'm going to forget this one. And it's a good one.
No.
And it's something I think we're going to coin it right now. I'm putting it right on the air now. So this is copyright. If you want to file patent law, I said it here. I think that we should have an addition to John Q's public firearm that has an OCCS on your Glock. When you fire, it shoots OC and CS at the same time. So this way, you're sure that your target who's invaded your home, you now hit him with a pepper. Oh, folks, OC is pepper spray, and CS is a gas that sucks the air out of you. And pepper spray, OC, makes you tear and blow snot. So the combination of the two would be great, right? Would be great.
That's brilliant. And let's clarify.
That would be a
that.
Great thing for us to patent and put on and sell.
It's very important. There's two basic kinds of ammo. You already know this, but the average person that we're perhaps talking to doesn't. You never, ever carry what's called FMJ, full metal jacket. You never put that ammo in your everyday carry. You
have everyday carry, good term.
You have hollow points only. So I have different sets of magazines.
What do you think about Black Talons?
It's okay. But here's focus on, if you don't mind, with a hollow point, it'd be very easy to manufacture what you're talking about because the explosion, you could send it up.
Yeah, when the hollow point pops out, it can hit that at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you just have to.
I was even thinking if we can't do it as an add-on, Mac, how about this? How about your first round, it's built into a round. But instead of projectile at the end, the projectile would be a pepper OC projectile. And then your second round, if needed, would be an actual regular round.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Because at least if you shoot them and you take down the assailant, right, you take down the bad guy or girl, if they're peppered in OC too, they're not getting up either way at all. It's not happening. You have plenty of ways to get out of that house.
I have that in my bag, by the way, a small one.
What do you carry, OC or CS?
Pepper spray.
3%? Let me guess, Saber or one of the, I can't remember the other one.
I have traumatic brain injury, so I don't know what the...
Hey, welcome to my world. And I actually need to recertify because I am an instructor for OC. Death Tech, that's what it is, Death Technologies.
Great weapon lights, too.
I love getting peppered, to be honest with you. I've been peppered for fun, let people watch. I like it. Now CS is a whole other game.
It's like the new charades.
Maybe when we hang out, Mac, we can spray the hell out of each other and see
come
who can
to
stand
our
among
house.
Us.
We're gonna spray you with pepper spray.
Well, everybody, now we're syndicated show, so they're like, don't go to these guys' houses. Getting back to Trump's national carry, I think, and I was thinking about you specifically before the show on this topic. Bear with me for 1 second. Because you know that I'm a lawyer too. So bringing in the legal end of it, it is kind of like a driver's license. Bear with me, meaning that every state recognizes your driver's license across the jurisdictional line. But driver's license is not a right, it's a privilege. Now, why the Second Amendment is a right? Shall not be infringed. So why does that change across state borders? So it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and you're in a state. Well, do you want to disclose the state you're in or no?
Oh, I'm in Arizona, and it's,
Your state carry, you're the best reciprocity in the country. Your state has the best reciprocity. You don't even need to live in Arizona to get a CCW there. You could just apply remotely, and they'll mail it to you anywhere in the country.
I was impressed. I didn't even know they had such a system when I got here, and I was really impressed. When my children were younger, I had no firearms. Because I didn't realize all the safety protocols that had actually come up with in the last, 20 years.
But you know what? Here's the thing. With your background, my background, if something were to happen to our family and we did not have that protection, you would really be angry with ourselves, right?
Oh, no.
That you didn't have it.
I'm with you 100%. I was just uneducated. Me, myself, can you believe that? I was uneducated to the safety protocols that are available for every home. And once I was familiar with that, I was much better. My son was I think it was a junior in high school when I started to get some stuff.
I think that if you have a child, and again, I don't want bots and trolls, but I guess, hey, I get bots and trolls every time anyway. So if they want a bot and troll, it still raises my numbers, but it is going to be anti-gun people here. And we're not being pro-gun. We're talking about policy and we're talking about things here. But I think if you are going to have a weapon, you need to train your child early.
Oh, early. I agree.
Really young. So they'll see they almost need to be afraid of it.
I was 7 years old. My grandfather put a .22 in my hand.
I actually am from New Jersey, and my experience with firearms didn't happen until working for the government and then the military.
Was in upstate
at that time because they did not. People didn't have guns.
I was in upstate New York, and my trainer.
Oh, I did play up in upstate New York. I'm not going to lie, Pennsylvania and upstate New York. I had friends, and we shot things and played. But I never got. I was older. But I think that, especially if you're in a gun state, you know, where in a state that has weapons, the chances of somebody that's going to attack you probably will have one. And the question is, if you didn't train your son or daughter, your wife or whoever, in this weapon from the beginning, that they need to be comfortable with it. They can't be afraid of it. You need to respect it. You must respect 100% it.
Correct. Both my sons have been to the range now. You know, they're older, but they've both been to
the range. There's nothing like seeing a 7 or 8 year old with his dad at the range with the protective gear, and he sees the power in his hand of what that does.
I see a lot.
The child, don't play with this object.
You know, Eric, I have to reinforce what you're saying, because I go to the range probably once a week at least. I always see at least, and I see a lot of daughters now too, anywhere from 7 to 11. They're there. They're right there. And it's so cute. I shouldn't say it's cute, but it's cute to me. I find it so endearing that these dads and moms do it too. Single moms.
I went to a range one time and they had ladies' night. And it was ladies' night, and they made a thing of it. Everybody went, and literally that was a thing. I was shocked at this particular, but you know what? It was good, I think, because like-minded women got together. And they're going to talk about their vulnerabilities and the things that are on their mind that they're not going to tell their husband or other people because they might be embarrassed.
Yeah, we have a ladies shooting club. We have a ladies shooting club in Vail, and they come to the range at least once a month. And it's almost like a sewing circle. It's funny. But right. they had such a blast. Well, they asked a lot of questions, which I like. I've taught basic.
What do they teach us? The only stupid question is the one you didn't ask, right?
Well, ladies,
unless if you're me in class, I ask a million questions and then they just hate me.
Ladies, you're going to like this. Ladies are more teachable. They're more interested. They're more focused.
If it's a male instructor.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
I believe if you want to go psychology here, and you know, I got that behavioral experience. I would think if it's a male, and I think honestly, you could prove me wrong, if it's an attractive male and it's a type A personality. Domineering male, they are more likely to listen and learn from him. Yeah, hey, Carrie, are you there? Are you there, Carrie, my executive producer? What say you on that?
I was just thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? I hope he's not good looking, because then you wouldn't be paying attention to what was going on.
Really? No, you don't think you would pay more attention if he was charismatic, attractive, a type A, but he took the time to work with you? Wouldn't you want him behind you, helping you hold the gun? Come on. You're going to pay attention to everything he's saying. Compared to some, I mean, let's be real, all right? I mean, I remember, hey, listen, I've been through a lot of school. You know what I'm saying? And the professors, it's the same thing. If it's a guy professor, it would be somebody that I wanted to be like, you know?
Well, they,
I like the way she looked.
Well, studies show that women are attracted the most to intelligence.
This is true. And there's something to be said for intelligence and being a type A and being able to push it to the next level. That is the scary person.
When you teach, you got to scale it back because especially with ladies, because they're already intimidated by if they've never carried before, they've never been around weapons. This is just my experience.
Right.
And when you do your best to make them feel safe, and that they're number one in their needs and their wants and their learning are number one. it's amazing how excited they get and how they follow through, because there's a lot of follow, as we talked about earlier, especially.
And they want that gratification from their instructor too. That's where I think the chemistry and the good looks come from. They want the positive response from their instructor that they might be, you know, slightly attracted to. They're actually focused on that more.
You want to laugh. The most popular instructor with the ladies is a woman at the range that I go to.
I need to come to your range. Is it worth it? Should I come out there?
She's older.
All right. Never mind.
Well, she's in great shape, but she's older.
Hey, whatever. Age is a number, right? You'd be shocked at how old some people are when you see them.
She's softer, you know? She's very tough. I mean,
that works good for guys. It does work better for guys.
If you're in a dark alley, you don't want to be around Connie.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about, and I'm going to go soft on it, and then I'm going to move into the next. But I had a professor early on in my collegiate career, and it was a girl, very attractive girl, and I was doing something new, and I actually learned because she was attractive, and I was like, the comfort of her niceness to me to teach me made me pay attention, and I actually learned it, and that's where I'm kind of taking that psychology towards with a man towards a woman teaching in this kind of thing, in this aspect. At least for me, I wouldn't have taken the criticism that she gave me. It was specifically my writing, which I'm a great writer. But she beat me on my writing early on, but I accepted it. You're pleading the fifth, if one. But that's where I see it. I took that criticism from her, and I accepted it, and I learned from it. And that's kind of what I'm roping with this conversation, the same kind of thing. I wouldn't have taken that from somebody else, from a guy. I would have been maybe insulted.
Well, you know who Beth Ford is, right?
Who?
Beth Ford is the CEO of the very famous butter company. She's very attractive. She's gay.
Can you hold that thought, Matt? Because I'm coming to a hard break here. Yep. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're taking a short break. Come right back so Matt can tell you about his fun stuff over there with the girl instructor. Don't go anywhere.
At the Rembrandt Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. You're right here. Eric A. Sinati, Unplugged. Insights and perspectives just like you want them. Mac, back to you. Mac, now, tell us what you're doing now with helping people prepare security in their home, physical security, technology, all of that. Give me that in like 3 to 4 minutes of time.
Sure.
I'm giving you the whole time.
Top things on home defense is lighting all the way around. You want to have lighting, and you want it to be solar powered around your house. You want it on the house, okay?
This way, infrastructure has nothing to do with it.
Correct. And nobody can cut it. You want to have two sets. And they're very, by the way, this is all very inexpensive. You can get them at Walmart.
Dollar Tree.
You want to make sure they're at least 600 lumens. And why you want them solar is because, God forbid, the power goes out.
If the power grid, right.
Your house is still going to be lit up like...
Forget the power grid. What about a burglar or the bad guy? They're going to cut the power. We know. I ran an episode on the ATF cutting power to a house and turning the Ring doorbell off. And they shot the guy, and he was the director of the airport. It boggled my mind. I don't want to go off on a whole tangent on that.
No. You want to have redundant cameras that are solar powered. And I mean... cameras that
you want IR cameras too, right? IR.
Yeah.
Infrared.
Exactly. They have to be
IR technology.
And what's interesting is the technology has become so sophisticated, it's actually drove the price down. So believe it or not, you can have that. On your front door, you always want to have two cameras. One they can see, one they can't see.
And one they can't see. I put a dumb, I love dummy cameras because they don't know if they're real. And I even have one at one of my places that's a dummy camera, but it's actually real. And it looks so stupid that they think it's dummy, but it's actually good. And here's also, the other thing. I bet you teach people to. And you want to have them run on their own network, not on an internet network, so they can't be hacked.
Exactly. And you want them, you want to have them high. So me, I'm disabled. I have to have, I hired this company called Handy.com. They put them up. But you want them at least 20 feet in the air so they can't get
them. Yeah, so they can't get them. Right. And they can't shoot them out with a BB gun or something.
No. And the lighting really is number one. Number two is the cameras. Number three is I have thumpers. You can buy thumpers. Well, you know what thumpers are.
I know what a thumper is.
Thumper is buried in the ground, and it actually has an alarm when somebody steps on
it. It's like a tripwire without the explosion.
Exactly.
I actually have them. I'm familiar. I have them everywhere.
So, but the average person, everything that we're talking, you know what's great about everything that we're talking about, Eric?
How about a drone where you can see people coming into your community before they get there?
Well, but all of this tech is available to anyone now.
Anybody, yeah. You can, actually, we should talk because we should get some sponsors and try some of this stuff out.
At RealLink would be, I'm sure would be interested. They're awesome. And ADT
does sponsor me. I have a deal with them already. We should talk about that after.
And your audience should know about this. ADT has everything. Signal is EMP proof.
EMP, thank you. Very, very important topic. Folks out there, EMP is an electromagnetic pulse. And this is something that the government is highly paying attention to because it's not about dropping a nuclear bomb on the United States. Yes, that would be devastating. But if they were to launch a nuke and detonate it in not the atmosphere, folks, we have an atmosphere, a stratosphere, ionosphere, there's several levels before you get to space. If they were to drop it in one of the other levels of our atmosphere, the upper atmosphere, like the ionosphere, the stratosphere, it would push an electromagnetic pulse, EMP, down, and it would destroy all of our tech. Right or wrong, Mac? We would be back to the Stone Ages in day one.
Yeah, day one. The targeted, yes.
Cars wouldn't even start. Cars wouldn't start unless you had like a 70s car, early 80s car. Well, it wouldn't start.
Speed protectors you can put in your car, too.
Yeah, there are ways to do. I want to do a whole episode on that because I am EMP ready myself. So, Carrie, where are we on time? She's going to yell at me, so I just might as well ask.
You're at 52, so you got about 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'll give you one more minute, Mac. Go on about the rest. So you're talking about lights, cameras with IR, light time.
Lights, cameras, action.
Yeah, right. And now, you saw that was quite the process.
My next door neighbor, for example, he was saying, what are you doing? And I said, bad guys and bad girls don't like lights.
They don't.
You know John Schreck, the former
I do.
Delta.
Yeah, he's a Delta guy.
First thing he said on Sean Ryan's show the other day.
I want to get him on the show, actually.
First thing he said was lights.
Oh, lights are key. Well, I mean,
and he said, when things are
illuminated, really they're illuminated.
But you're going to laugh. You know what he said is the second thing? The Nextdoor app.
The Nextdoor app.
But anyway, so I would recommend joining Nextdoor.
But here's the thing. Let me throw a caveat out there. Those of you that have a Ring doorbell, understand that Ring has a contract with the government, and they share your footage. And there are cases in court right now. Forget your front door footage. We're talking they are having access to the inside of your house footage. Did you know that, Matt? There are cases in court.
That's why
people are being compelled to turn over their Ring doorbell recordings for another incident that they don't want to be involved.
That's why I have Nest.
That's why you have to have your own system. I believe in creating my own system.
I have Google Nest.
How about creating your own home server? I have a home server.
You can do that. Now here's
I have a portable.
I agree with you,
Portable router.
You got to do it in layers, brother. You know, you start.
I have a portable router. When I go somewhere, I don't use their. I have my own router. I have a portable router.
Dude, you're such a spook.
I'm a tunnel rat. What can I tell you?
Oh, that's funny.
That was my nickname for a while.
So you want to have you want to be hooked into your neighborhood watch because you want because the Nextdoor app is wonderful because they talk about people that are in driveways. They talk about suspicious vehicles. and you and I know about intelligence. It's like having your own intelligence network. You just have to.
But let me add the negative to that for you, Matt. And I think I want the viewers and the listeners to hear this.
Yeah.
When you do that, you are now letting your neighbors know that you're ready and you have supplies. When things you're hit the fan, the people are communicating, right? People are communicating on there. I see what they talk about.
I'm not communicating. I'm just.
Using it. You're using it as like a one way tool.
Correct.
You're not. Okay, then that's acceptable. All right.
Yeah, I don't even belong, but I'm hooked into the feed.
I feel you on that. I know all about that trick. I got that one down pat though. You and I have a lot.
We went out and had a chat with somebody in a van the other night, and I was wearing.
What do you think of the flock system? What do you think of flock? You know about flock, right? They're being sued right now in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
That's the automated license plate readers. I think that is an invasion of your Fourth Amendment, invasion of your rights. And there is a police officer in New York, I want to say somewhere, who actually is under criminal investigation right now because he used the automated license plate reader program to stalk his girlfriend. And for those who don't know what the automated license plate reader program does, it scans every car as you drive through intersections in parking lots. And I even put it on this show. Do you know that the FedEx trucks have it on there? On their trucks, and the government buys it from them. So then they circumvent the Fourth Amendment. Bet you didn't know that. Look it up. FedEx has license plate readers on their trucks, and that's how the government is being able to see the cars in your driveway and in your garage where you have an expectation of privacy, but they're buying it from somebody that does not have a right to, doesn't need a Fourth Amendment exclusion. They don't need a warrant for it. I think that technology is good, but it could be bad. But we're coming to a hard close, Mac. Any final thoughts before I close down here?
I want to thank you for being on, and I want you people to remember to stay safe and stay free.
And we're going to put all your commercials in. Is there any information you want people to reach you? You could say it now.
Man, we have a channel. It's called Jarhead Tactical, and it's on YouTube.
Jarhead Tactical. We're going to be posting that on here, folks. Do you have an email for people to reach you who want to get some training and get a home surveillance system
Jarhead
set up?
Tactical. JarheadTactical2@gmail.com.
JarheadTactical2, the number 2?
Yes, sir.
JarheadTactical2@gmail.com, folks. Thank you very much for coming in, Max. Stay behind studio, mute out. All right, folks. It was a great episode. Thank you, Mac. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure seeing you again. Okay, folks, thank you so much. I'm glad you were here tonight. It was a really great episode, and we're going to have Mac on more often. We're going to be giving you the information. Definitely reach out to Mac. He is a plethora of information. He truly is James Bond of a lot of things. He is the guy. But student becomes teacher now. So, Mac, here we are. So, moving into Sinati's final brief. Securing the homeland isn't just the government's responsibility, folks. It's not. It's coming from a personal matter. You can't expect them to be there for you all the time. You have to be personally responsible, and you have to look for yourself. Look for your family. You have, you know, what do they say? Strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. But you have to have self-restraint that you're going to do the right thing. But you also have to have the foreknowledge that when the time comes, you will do what is necessary for your family. Because you know what? Edmund Burke says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And that is the truth. You heard it right here. So from understanding concealed carry laws to bolstering your home security, these are minor things that we're doing, but they make a major difference. But we're talking about preparing for the unexpected. And boy, we know, modern world we live in, the unexpected is the expected. If there's one thing you can count on, it's the unexpected happening. So we have to make sure that we each play a role in here. We have a role. You have to play it. Whether you want it or not, you have a purpose. As we face an increasingly unpredictable world. And trust me, it's very unpredictable. As Mac can tell you and I can tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on that you don't know about and you don't want to know. Just be happy that somebody knows and is doing it for you. We talked about this on prior episodes. Either raise your hand and try out and volunteer to be a part, or move out of the way and let the professionals do what needs to be done. Either way, we have to protect our Americans, ourselves, our families. That is our purpose in life. We are humans before anything. We all come from the same place. Remember that. A vigilant citizen is a citizen prepared. I don't mean vigilante. I said vigilant, meaning paying attention. Keeping, like he said, and I say, keep your head on a swivel. You have to be prepared. Stay sharp, stay prepared, and always question. Always question. Always question. And together, maybe with that questioning, we can build a brighter, safer future for our children and for our grandchildren. And that is what we all hope at the end of the day. As we close today, remember, staying informed is not a choice. It's a responsibility. Okay, folks? It's a responsibility. Shame on you if you don't know what is going on, because there is no Monday morning quarterback after something bad happens and you just didn't know about it because you didn't stay in tune to what's going on. It's your responsibility. Here on Unplugged, we cut through the noise. No noise here. We call it out like it is. I don't care if you like what I say. I just want you to hear what I say. I'm not asking you to be my friend. I'm not inviting you to my house for dinner. I'm helping you hear and see what you might not otherwise see. We cut through the noise, we dig deep, and we seek the truth. We seek the truth. This is Eric A. Sinani. Until next time, stay sharp, stay engaged, and never, ever stop questioning, because what lies beneath the surface might be even worse than what's on the surface. Thank you for tuning in to me tonight. God bless America. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode.